Hello everyone and welcome. Today is February the 10th, 2021 and you are at our Whole Life Healing Program with Dr. Alex Lloyd. My name is Johanna Chan and I'll be assisting Alex today where he will be sharing with you spiritual law of nature or one of his diving into one of his deep waters topics, which you could always find on YouTube. If you go there on YouTube and click Ask Dr. Alex Lloyd, you're going to find his weekly video that he makes every week for us. And in this particular call, we hope to be able to discuss that with you where you can ask him questions regarding the topic from this week if you've watched it on YouTube and or anything for that matter. Alex is here for you. So if you are online on the phone and you have a question, you can press star 2 on your phone. That's going to raise your hand, so I'll open your line. If you're on the web, you can type in a question, and I will read it for Alex. But before we hear from Alex, I want to share this disclaimer. This presentation is for education and informational purposes only, and since we're going to be talking about issues of health and well-being, we wanted to make sure that you understand this information is not intended to heal or cure anything. Everything in the presentation are the opinions of Dr. Alex Lloyd, myself, Johanna Chan, or you if you choose to share. You should always check with a licensed healthcare provider about any specific health concerns you may have. So, Alex, I believe our topic is dealing with negativity. Is that correct?
Is it negativity or when someone close to you is in pain?
Oh, you know what? I might be wrong. Whatever you want to share is fine.
Well,
I think you're right.
The one that's for this week. Let me check here real quick. Let me see. Yeah, I think it's when someone close to you is in pain, and negativity was last week.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to share, go ahead. We have a lot of people on the phone.
Okay. To me, this is a very important issue because no one gets a free pass on this. During your lifetime, it is guaranteed, unless you go become a hermit up in the mountains or a cave somewhere, that you are going to be around people in pain, either physical pain, emotional pain, both, when things don't go their way, when they get their heart broken, when they go bankrupt, when they have a car accident, when there's unexpected illness, when, you know, it's on and on and on and on. And so unless you say, okay, in order to avoid this, I'm not going to have relationships, well, then you're just going to experience the worst pain you can experience on planet Earth, which is lack of love and intimacy and relationship, which is what all of life is about. So you really, unless you choose the worst thing you could ever possibly choose, you are going to experience pain related to people around you, close to you, that you know, at work, at home, in your neighborhood, at church, somewhere, okay? And for most people, this is a negative time. It's something to, let's get it over as quickly as we can and get on to something that feels better and is happier. And I think we're making a huge mistake when we do that, because I think pain is the primary vehicle that takes us from one level of existence and one level of fulfillment and contentment with life to the next level. Right, I believe that predominantly happens by pain, okay? And that's not just me. M. Scott Peck, the medical doctor, author of the Runaway bestseller, in fact, it's my wife Hope's favorite book of all time, The Road Less Traveled, says that ultimate success in life is community. It's intimate, loving relationships with other people. That is ultimate success. But most people don't ever get there, because to get there, you have to go through chaos, which is kind of another name for pain. And most people, when they hit chaos, turn around and go back instead of dealing with the pain without fighting it, without running away from it, without hiding from it, and really almost embracing it as an opportunity. And the people that do that, that embrace pain as an opportunity for change for them, for change for the person who's in pain, for change for the family, for change for the company or organization or church or whatever it is, okay, those are the people that go through the pain to success, to happiness, to fulfillment and contentment and love, joy, peace in life, all right? So, and like probably almost everyone else on the planet, I used to look at pain that way too and hated funerals. In fact, I had nightmares for at least a year after my grandfather's funeral and other times when my friends were in some kind of pain and, you know, they were wanting to talk about it and they were all bummed out. And I was wanting to go out and have fun, you know, which is what we normally did, especially during my younger years. But what I've learned in life is that the people you go through the pain with are the people that you become the closest to. And so if you measure success in life in terms of a love tank rather than a gas tank, how full is your love tank? When you go through pain with somebody else, loving them, supporting them, encouraging them, helping them, praying for them, whatever, your love tank just has the hose stuck into it and 10 more gallons put in, all right? And then you go through your life, and there's not any big, huge pain. And then another pain thing, and someone else that you know. And so you go, you say, another opportunity to help someone and help myself at the same time. So you go love them, encourage them. You get another 10 gallons in your love tank. Well, before you know it, if you keep looking at life and pain that way, all of a sudden, you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, or whatever, and you've got hundreds of gallons, metaphorically, of love in your love tank, and you are having a fabulous life, better and better life all the time, the more love you get inside you, and all of a sudden, you notice that other people are asking you, hey, what do you do? What have you got in your life that I don't have? Because you've got something I don't have. Well, maybe that thing was seeing pain for what it is, as an opportunity for intimacy, an opportunity for growth, an opportunity to create love with another person and inside yourself as well, and then pass that on to the people that you love and care about. So I believe that fundamentally we look at pain the wrong way. And there's a 100% normal reason for that. When we come into the world, our most basic programming is to seek pleasure and avoid pain. All right? It's built into us right there. You can't remove it. You'll have it the day you die. The catch is that once we get to about age 10, that's only supposed to be used for two things. One, if it's a literal life-threatening emergency in the next 15 minutes to keep us alive, all right? Or number two, to see as a positive, not a negative. Because once we get to 10, up until 10, we are protected in our brain from the stress brain state. Those first 10 years of life is the only time we live in delta theta brain state, which is a non-stress brain state. So up until 10, we're supposed to live and seek pleasure, avoid pain. So we stay alive, but we're protected from the stress of that. Once we turn about 10 years of age, we never live in delta theta again. We're primarily in our waking hours in beta, which is the stress brain state, among other things. So the only way we can get out of that stress is to focus on what on love, joy, peace, relationships, win-win-win, and pain as a positive possibility, not just a negative inevitability. Okay? So everyone I have ever counseled with or known that simply shifted how they look at pain from a bad thing to a potentially good thing, it's changed their life. There's not one person I know of who has done that who has not come to me later and said, you know, that didn't seem like that big a deal, but I tell you, it has made a big deal in my life since I started doing that, and it will with you as well. But you've got to kind of reprogram yourself, because we're supposed to quit living by seek pleasure, avoid pain at about 10 years old. In my experience, 9 out of 10 people live in it their whole life, and they're still in seek pleasure, avoid pain at 30, 60, 90, and on their – well, no. Usually on their deathbed, they'll switch and realize I made the wrong choice, and they'll have this crushing regret. But until then, 9 out of every 10 people still live in seek pleasure, avoid pain after 10. They don't start focusing on what is love-based, and that pain can be not only a positive, but a transformational positive in their life if they'll let it be. There's an ancient manuscript from the Bible that most people who even believe in the Bible hate, and I used to hate it too. And it says, count it as joy when painful things happen to you. That's kind of the loose translation. And then it tells you why. Because the pain will do this, and then that will do this other thing. This other thing will do another thing. And the end result is you will become the best version of yourself. Okay? And I found that to be absolutely true. In fact, I could probably say that in a lot of people that I've worked with, at the end of the day, the ones that have had the greatest success and been the happiest, healthiest, had the biggest breakthroughs, that you could probably separate them by the ones who started viewing pain as a potential positive versus the one that viewed pain as a negative, and let's either fight it, get away from it, or hide from it. It's not 100%, but that's probably at least 80% that you could boil it down to that one thing for the majority of people. So, start taking seriously in your life how you view pain and start intentionally viewing it in truth, which I believe is what I'm telling you today, not the reactive truth of an 8-year-old that pain is always bad. And that's it for me, Johanna.
All right, Alex. Thank you. This is a really awesome topic. And if you go on YouTube and click on Dr. Alex Lloyd and look at Deep Waters, you'll see the video where he is talking more about this today. So if you have any questions or comments for Alex regarding this topic or any topic, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2 on your phone, and I will unmute your line. If you are online, you can type in your question, and I will read that to Alex. So we'll give a minute or a few seconds here to see who raises their hand. Star 2 is going to raise your hand. All right. Okay, so our first person to raise their hand is Glenn, and I think you're in California. I'm opening your line.
Hey, Glenn.
Thank you. Hey, Dr. Alex, how you doing? Great talk today. Great talk today.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. I wanted to comment and then get your take on this.
Sure.
It seems that in the Eastern religions, they talk about the concept of Maya or illusion.
Yeah.
And that what we experience isn't really what's happening. And that's kind of like what you're saying today, in that this pain, which everybody, you know, naturally wants to avoid, really is a gift. And it's really is the message, or the way that the transformation or healing or personal growth takes place. And they mention that in the East a lot of times, not mentioned in the traditional religious, you know, Christian, you know, faith religion that we grew up. I wonder what your take on that is.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it absolutely is in the Bible. That passage that I spoke of today is in James chapter 1, and there are others. I think there is great discovery, great merit, great end results in so much of Eastern medicine. They've been focused on the internal rather than just the external for millennia. A lot of the rest of the world, especially the Western world, has not been. They've been more focused on the externals of life as a way for happiness and things like that. So I completely agree, but it is in the religious text as well. What really amazes me is that it is in all these places, and still 9 out of 10 people, whenever pain comes, run or fight or hide. And really what they're doing, and maybe if they thought about it this way, it would help them. They're acting like a 5-year-old. You know, when you're 5 years old and skin your knee, you know, you cry and it's horrible. And, you know, I mean, it's like a catastrophe. Well, when you're 25 and skin your knee, you probably don't even cry. I mean, it hurts, and you're like, oh, shoot, man, that hurt. But then that's it, you know, and you realize, oh, it's not that big a deal, part of life, whatever. But in this way of looking at not scraping your knee pain, but the pain of life and living and relationships and failure and catastrophes and trauma and things like that, we do tend to look at it like a 5-year-old. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to think about it. I want to do something that feels good or is pleasurable. Well, when you do that, you're really acting like a 5-year-old. So do you really want to live your adult life like a 5-year-old, which is basically, you know, I'm going to eat the whole bag of M&Ms, not one handful. So, yeah, I completely agree with you, Glenn.
What's interesting about this is that two points I just wanted to make. One is that if you look at the biggest changes in our lives that we've gone through, at least that I've gone through, it had to look like suffering. It had to look like it disguised as pain or disguised as potential suffering, whether it's a breakup or a job change or a health challenge. You know, it comes as bad news, but that's just illusion that it's bad news. It really is good news in disguise, but we can't see it. So if you look back at all the challenges, like you always talk about getting kicked out of the house, you know, when Hope kicked you out, that was the best thing that ever happened to you. But you didn't know that at the time. It took you extra years for you to realize, hey, that was a blessing, not a curse, but you just didn't see it at the time.
Yeah, and I'll give you one further. Is Hope and I are opposites, okay? And Hope was a beautiful young lady, all right? In fact, a beauty queen winner and stuff like that. But for whatever fortunate reason, I dated a lot of beautiful young ladies, and there were two or three that were just as beautiful as her, maybe to some people even more, okay? But I married Hope, okay? Hope, she calls herself, and has for our entire adult life. She calls herself my biggest critic, okay? And Glenn, I would put my hand on the Bible and swear to it. It's the truth. She is. Every time she hears me speak, if I do a video, if I write a book, I mean, almost anything I do, she will be much more critical of it than positive of it, all right? And earlier in my life, it just killed me. In fact, I got to where I didn't even want to talk to her after I got sat down from making a talk or a speech or something, because I knew what was coming and it would bum me out for the rest of the night. And it'd make me angry and all kinds of stuff. But Glenn, with my personality, I absolutely needed that. And it was that, and it was that aspect of her, which is kind of a little bit of a perfectionism thing, that forced me to work harder and work harder and work harder and improve in things and get better and stuff like that. I would not remotely be the person I am today if I had married another beautiful young lady that just oohed and aahed over me all the time and told me how great I was. I'd be a shell of what I am today. There is no doubt about that to me, but I could have gone the other way, and there are times I wanted to, which is, man, I'm not going to live with somebody like this the rest of my life. But it's exactly what I needed. And it's kind of that thing, you remember the old, Glenn, when we were kids, the rock tumblers, where, you know, you buy this little machine and you put rough, jagged rocks in it, and then you turn the machine on, and a week later, you stop it, and they're all really smooth.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
Yeah, that's what she's been in my life, and it is absolutely priceless and invaluable. And today, it doesn't make me mad. And when she's critical, she does it in a kind, loving way, which she didn't always used to do. So you're absolutely right, and it's been one of the major issues in my life, personally, is learning how to treat pain as a friend instead of the enemy.
It's easier to learn that lesson if you're warned about it, rather than when you're in the middle of your pain, and, this is the best for you, you know, when you're going, ow, it's the best for you.
Yeah, that's right. And for me, Glenn, it was even more than that. It was that I didn't have any choice. I was in a situation where I could not get away from it. I had to go through it. Or I think if there had been any out that I saw as, a viable, decent out, I would have taken it. But I had no choice. I could not get away from it, but it is exactly what I needed that kind of, chiseled me out to be a better person.
I guess the Rolling Stones were right when they said, you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need.
I should have had that song on and then the intro. You're right. The Stones.
The Wisdom of the Stones. Great.
That's right. That's exactly right. You can't always get what you want. But typically, if you hang in there, you will get what you need.
Well, I guess that's got to be the next song. But if you hang in there, you'll get what you need.
Okay.
That's great.
All right, thanks so much, Glenn.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much. Johanna?
Okay, so we have one more caller. I think you know who this is. Marilyn.
Yes, good morning, good afternoon. I have a question first, and it's to do with the addiction and habits stuff that you put out. With the trilogies, can I just sort of do the trilogies any time? or do they need to be done at the same time I'm going through the process of committing myself and then going through all the steps that are in the manual?
No, I'd say you could do it any time. But the key thing in the habits and addictions is you're not vowing not to do the habit or addiction. You are ever. You never vow to not do that. You're only vowing to go through the process. So when that pain or desire or fear hits during the day, right then you need to turn and give it to God, give it to love, whatever, and then wait that 15 minutes. That's the key to it.
Okay.
But you can do the trilogy anytime.
Okay. I started doing it yesterday, but I'm not quite doing something that sort of is an addiction that is visible, I guess I would put it. When you did the terrorist abuse, and at the very end there you said, you know, all our lies, all our memories are lies, and you said, you know, the house burns down, I feel I can never find a safe place, and that triggered a start of my healing, because I didn't have the house burned down, but it could have, and it went then to where I was angry at my mother for going to work. If she hadn't gone to work, this situation would never happen, I was for at the time. And with Johanna's help and trilogies, I have really come a long way with this healing. And then last week, when I asked Johanna for a trilogy, what came up was the feeling, I just can't. And I could remember a lot of times in my life when I can't. But when I did the actual healing, I thought, well, rather than be specific, I'll just allow it to pick and find the best one. And the next morning it came up, I felt I just can't make my mother happy. Now, my mother had passed away, she's passed away about 6 years ago, so it's not a thing that's present, but it's an energy that I still have. And I used Johanna's trilogy, and I did it for, I think, 2 days ago, and I only could get it to a 9. It just would not go below a 9. And yet I could feel in myself the shifts and changes that I was feeling from doing the trilogy, but on the actual truth testing, it wouldn't go below a 9. And then I just sort of thought, well, you know, am I addicted to wanting to make my mother happy? So I added in to heal it as an addiction that I needed to make my mother happy, and it dropped to a 5.
Ah,
and so
cool.
that's why yesterday I took it through the habits and addiction process as best I could, because it wasn't something that I was saying, oh, you know, I don't want to go take that drink or eat that chocolate. It was just, obviously, I had this need to make my mother happy and felt I never could. Interesting then, after I had done that, and it was quite emotional going through it, I then re-listened to this video, and it felt like you were taking away my identity, because that's the child I became, the helpful child, the child who was there, the responsible child to my mother, and that sort of was who I became, was this person who helped people. But obviously, coming from that wrong energy of what's in it for me, but never really thought about it that way.
Yeah.
And my energy just went, I call it roller coaster, and that was my relationship with my mother. It was a roller coaster. Sometimes I was up and I was getting on very well, and other times it was just like, no, just stay away from Mum. It's just not good at the moment to be near Mum. And so what I did, I started saying the Lord's Prayer, and it took me 3, and that energy settled down. And I have started to heal on my wanting to help people from the wrong reason. So I just wanted to sort of, that's why I asked the question, when would I do the trilogies? Because this is not something like, oh, I want to go and have that drink. It's just my choosing to heal this particular emotion, or it is an addiction, to wanting, I don't know, is an acceptance. You know, if Mum loves me, that means she accepts me. Is it a rejection issue that I have this craving?
Yeah, well, I think what you bring up is a wonderful point. And after I released that Habits and Addictions program, I actually thought this has the wrong name, because people are going to think this is only for alcohol, drugs, and chocolate and stuff like that. When in reality, we can be addicted or have a negative habit for almost anything, and you bring up a really good one. This is my identity. I'm the helpful person, all right? But the problem is, if you're being helpful in order to get something for yourself, that's not love, that's self-interest. And so then, yes, that would fall under habit or addiction. And I think what you did was just right, but I don't think it's going to matter that much when you do the trilogy, as long as whenever you feel that thing related to your mom, you go through that 15-minute habit and addiction process. You can do the trilogy then. I mean, after the 15 minutes, you could do it, you know, 3 hours later. You could have done it 2 hours before. I don't know that that'll matter a lot, as long as you do the habit and addiction stuff right when you feel that related to your mother or to someone else. Like, they're having this thing, let me go be helpful. But then you stop a second. Oh, okay, wait a minute, though. Am I doing this for my own good feelings or for theirs? And if it's for theirs, I would immediately go to the 15-minute process, and I've got, I would bet you a dollar there's a decent chance that after 15 minutes you might be able to answer that differently. Now I can go help them, and it's not just for self-interest. It's for them.
Okay.
Or maybe not one 15 minutes, but if you get in the habit of doing that, knowing that that's a thing for you, then maybe in a week or a few months or whatever, you find yourself not doing it to get something, but just because you care about the person and want to help.
Yeah. At this point, I've just decided every day I'm going to do it. I don't.
Yeah, that's fine too.
Yeah. With regards to, I asked you a question, I think. Oh, yeah, I did. On the All Access call, I asked you about whether the trilogy that you gave for the abuse could break the cycle. And this also relates to helping, but this is where it wasn't done consciously. Whenever I do my healing, I always ask it to flow out, and I do specify my individual family. But at the very end, I say to all those open to receiving it, and I did talk on that All Access call about my neighbor, which is in a situation where it's an abusive cycle. And at the moment, I do a lot of the cognitives, and I'm doing the abuse trilogy, and also my husband does them with me. Last Saturday night, there was a fight in the afternoon, and she threw him out, and he came back about 10 o'clock. And she wanted him to go, and he wouldn't go. He said, no, I'm staying. That's very arrogant. You can't throw me out.
Mm-hmm.
And then two nights ago, I could hear a discussion going on where he was raising his voice, but it didn't get into a fight. But I thought, oh, I wouldn't be surprised there's a fight in the early hours of the morning. And there was. But this time, he raised his voice. She said something back to him at a very low tone. And then I heard a door shut and there was quiet. And I'm just wondering, like, I'm not sending energy to her, but whether, because she's my neighbor and I'm doing so much trilogy, whether she is absorbing the healing that I'm doing for myself.
Well, it's certainly.
Like I said,
certainly.
I mean, it's not like, I mean, that's only just the first time, but that's the first time I've ever heard the fight not get very verbal, very loud, and it's like she just went, I'm not going to, you know, I'm just not going to play your game.
Yeah.
And just was curious, can she, could she have, I mean, as I said, I ask for anyone open to receiving it to receive it.
Yeah.
Leaving it open to.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely possible. I mean, the 1935 Einstein study, you know, action at a distance, that's what they found, is that even with someone that you're not that close to, there is a connection that can literally affect the physiology of the other person. And some more modern studies that they've done, kind of, you know, piggybacking on that, have been with people who just met for a couple of minutes, didn't know each other very well. They would get them in a different room and have them, like, pick colors. And it was uncanny how they would pick the same colors. So, yeah, absolutely it's possible. Now, you know, probably only God will ever know for sure. But, yeah, it's possible. And what you might do is start including her in your prayer, you know, not only just whoever needs this, but I know my neighbor's been struggling. Please let her receive this and it help if she needs that. Then I think that would up the odds a little.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay,
yeah,
yeah, I guess
it is possible.
The other thing that I may have also helped is the week earlier when they had the fight in the early hours of the morning or whatever it was, 10 or 11, they fought, to get which one could say the thing. I woke up the next morning absolutely exhausted. And so I truth tested and yeah, I was feeling traumatized by listening to them. Because I've also experienced that early in my life. And so I healed on that. I'm just sort of wondering whether that may have also shifted energy, because I would have resented the fact that I was a witness to this, because they moved in last August. This has been going on for quite a few months. That's why I'm sort of surprised all of a sudden she suddenly seems to be able to handle it differently.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering,
yeah,
whether my healing, my resentment that I've been forced to witness this also may have shifted that energy towards her. So
yeah,
no, it was just interesting.
Yeah, sure, and absolutely could have. And what I would do with that, I mean, you do what you feel good about, but what I would do that about that is just consider that it is helping. And so when I do work on me, I'm going to start including her by name. I just consider it is going to help. And
okay,
that's just me. You don't have to do that, but I think it helps me when I do things like that.
Yeah, well, that's why I always ask it to flow out those to anybody who's open to receiving it, because, again, that is, like you said in this one, I'm not forcing on somebody. I'm saying that, look,
right,
if you are open to receiving this energy, I'm happy to send it to you without expectations.
Right. Yeah, and I would say something like that. I always do. Like, you know, send this to Hope if it's what's best for her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just say send it.
Yeah, well, that's after listening to this video, that's what I will add in, you know.
Yeah.
If that's what's best for this person. Because
right,
I just send it. I never. But now, yeah, like I said, this one is a very important video, like you said, because I've just sent energy. I've never said if it was best for them. And
yeah,
I can understand very much why that needs to be added in, having listened to that.
Right. Well, cool.
Mm.
Thank you.
Mm. Thank you. Okay. You know, look, these really are very helpful to me.
Well, thank
all
you so much. It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. We
thank
have one more caller, Alex. Is that
all
okay?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm opening the line, and your number is, 5792. Your line is open.
Hi, Dr. Alex. It's a pleasure to talk to you today.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name's Jennifer.
Jennifer.
And, yeah, actually, I just recently, you know, came across your book, heard about it in a video that I was watching, and, you know, it kind of sparked my interest. I just, actually, a couple of days ago, just finished reading the book. So, you know, it was very informative. You know, didn't realize that, you know, how our emotions and everything affect, you know, affect what's going on in our body. But I've had an issue that I've probably been dealing with for, you know, for over 20 years. So I started doing the, probably about a week, well, maybe not even quite a week, started doing the healing codes on it, just, you know, by the what was shown in the book. But my question is like, what if I don't have, or I can't think of a specific memory that is associated, you know, with what's going on? And what it is, I don't have, I've been diagnosed, it's called cervical dystonia or hand dystonia, which, you know, I have one of my hands that, like the finger, one of the fingers just shakes kind of uncontrollably, which, you know, causes me issues like with writing or eating. So, but I don't, you know, and I've been thinking about that and I'm like, okay, I don't know of any specific memory that could possibly be related to that. So when I'm doing the healing codes, do I just like focus on this issue, or do I try to associate a memory with it?
Well, I would make a couple of suggestions. One is I would rotate around all of the categories to make sure that you're getting the source, because there's really a chance, like you just said, you don't know what the source is. It's either unconscious, subconscious, or from your ancestry. The other thing I would do is do what we call the memory finder protocol, which is to say, okay, when I think about this hand issue and the pain that it causes and the way it negatively affects my life, what's the biggest negative emotion do I feel? So what would that be for you? What's the biggest negative emotion you feel related to that?
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to do some, I guess, searching on that, because it's just, you know.
I mean, is it anger? Is it fear? Is it fear that this is going to get worse and never better? What is it?
That's the fear, that, you know, that it's going to get worse.
Okay. Then I would.
It's not going to be healed, which I didn't believe, God can heal anything.
Okay, then I would say, okay, how much is the fear, 0 to 10, and then go back in your life and find and work on all fear memories where you felt something similar, not about your hand, but about anything, like, oh no, this is bad, and it's going to have a negative impact in the future. Anything in your life where you thought something like that, work to heal those memories until you can't find any more, because you don't have any more that are negative. Then do the healing code just on the hand situation, but not until you've healed those fear memories from your past.
Okay, so each position that's shown in the book, don't even do that? Am I just focusing on, like, fear memories?
No. Do the hand positions, but before you start the code, pray about that memory when I was 10 years old and my dad broke his leg, and I was afraid this was going to negatively affect our family from now on, or my dad lost his job, and so money was an issue, and I was afraid this was going to cause a problem, you know, for months or years into the future, or whatever it was. You broke a guy's heart, or a guy broke your heart, or whatever, and work on them one at a time. Find those fear memories, rate them 0 to 10, and then work on them one at a time with the code. But work on one memory at a time until it's down below a 1 out of 10, and then go to the next one. And then only when you can't find any more fear memories that are still bothering you at all, then do the healing code directly on the hand issue.
Okay. So, and you're in the healing code, you're talking, the healing code is like
the four positions.
The different positions.
Yeah, right.
And then,
yeah.
Okay. I'm just, yeah, because I've had to go back and read, you know, and read a few things to make sure I'm understanding everything correctly and that I'm doing, you know, I'm doing this correctly because I certainly
right.
want it to be effective.
Sure. But I also have to say that about 3 years ago, I released a new process called Trilogy that is significantly more effective than the healing codes. And you can find that on our main website, dralexanderlloyd.com. But the healing code works as good as it ever has. It's a great tool. Since I published the book, there's been 3 independent university studies that were published in peer-reviewed journals, all showing a very dramatic effect on a variety of issues, anxiety, addictions, habits, people with terminal illness, et cetera. So it works great, but there is a tool I've released since then that works a little better.
Okay. I will definitely check that out because I have not seen that. So,
okay.
You know, I will check that out, and I appreciate, you know, all the research and everything that you've done. It just, you know, pretty much opened my eyes up to basically to a whole new world, I guess.
Well, cool. So. Cool. Just keep doing it. The only way we've seen it not work is if people don't do it.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate your input and
your
time.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Good to meet you.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Okay. That's it for our hands up, Alex.
All right. Well, remember you can send your questions in. And we will answer them, post it, and you can listen to it whenever you want to. And love you, Johanna, and love you, everyone, and have a wonderful week.
All right. Thanks, Alex. So we have a little bit of time left. If any of you would like to get a custom healing code or a custom trilogy, you can raise your hand by pressing *2. *2 is going to raise your hand. And that's going to alert me that you would like to get a custom trilogy or a custom healing code. All right, so I think we have the same caller here. Okay, your line is open. 5792.
Hello. Yes, it's me again, Jennifer.
Okay, Jennifer, did you want a custom healing code to address? Okay, very good. And, yes, I'm so glad that you did discover the healing code. And what I can create for you is a personal, customized code. So you would be using the 4 positions, but in a custom sequence. That's what a custom code is. It's going to be very specific for you. So you want to use this custom code rather than the one that's in the book. And the one that's in the book is always going to work for you, but this one is going to be very specific for you because that's what Alex has trained us as practitioners to do is to create the custom codes for you. So as Alex was asking you, Alex was asking you about how you feel about this condition that you have. What would you say is the main negative feeling or belief about it that you're experiencing?
Just worry is that it's going to get worse.
Okay. So on a scale from 1 to 10, about how strong is that worry?
Probably a 9.
Okay. When you think about that feeling, it's going to get worse, is there an early memory that comes up when you can recall feeling that same way about something in your life, either from childhood or any time in your life when you have felt, I'm really worried this is going to get worse?
It could be not anything. That I can specifically remember, you know, right now. Yeah, I'm gonna have to.
Okay, well, you can take time. You can take time, but I'm going to go ahead and create a custom healing code for you to use. And as Alex was suggesting, you want to address every memory known that comes up, and if no memory comes up, it's okay. Your intention is to heal all the negative memories and fears that are connected to this condition from your life, that those will be healed. And then you just do the healing code. Now, while you're doing the healing code, you don't want to be thinking about the condition in a negative way. You want to be thinking about something, and it could be anything. It doesn't have to be related. Anything that makes you feel peace, that makes you think about love, that makes you feel connected to God, any of those positive things, while you're actually doing the hand positions, that's where you want your mind to be. And that's going to help the positive, that's going to help the code to flow more easily because, it's just leaving your mind, if you have negative thinking going on, it can interfere with the flow of the energy. So you want to try to have your conscious mind in a positive place. And it could be anything. You can think about a favorite place to go in nature. You could think about your favorite pet or your favorite person. I think about my grandbabies and my babies when they were little, and I feel that connection to joy and love.
Okay.
But you choose whatever works for you. There are also truth-focused statements. A lot of people like to say truth-focused statements. We say do that instead of affirmations. A truth-focused statement is where you really believe it's true. So an affirmation usually causes more stress. An affirmation would be, I have no more fear, when in fact you're dealing with a fear. You know you're dealing with a fear. So you want to say, you want to say, I am choosing for these fears to be healed. That's a true statement. So that's the difference.
Okay.
And so let's go ahead. What I want you to do is make a couple of statements for me, and then I will create a code for you. Can you say for me, I desire to be healthy?
I desire to be healthy.
All right. Say, I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
Okay. Say, the fear issues.
The fear issues.
Okay, very good. Just a moment. Okay, do you have a pen?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay, write this down. Left hand pointing at the jaw, at the left jaw. Right hand pointing at the temple, the right temple. That's your first position.
Okay,
you're
going to
hold
left
that.
At,
yeah,
left
hand
jaw.
Right
at temple.
Right, and you're going to hold that for 30 seconds. Then you're going to switch to both hands pointing at the Adam's apple. Hold that for 30 seconds. And it doesn't have to be exact. Usually about 5 or 6 nice, relaxed breaths is about 30 seconds. Okay, the next position is both hands pointing at the jaws.
Okay.
And the last position is left hand pointing at the temple and right hand pointing at the Adam's apple.
Okay. Left hand at temple, right hand at Adam's apple.
Right. And those are the four positions you want to use. This is your specific healing code. And if you cannot find any other early memories, it's okay. Just have that intention of healing anything and everything in your life that where you ever felt this fear or close to this fear. Or any limiting beliefs, you know. Anything at all that feels like it's the same thing you're feeling with this condition. And that may change. Every day you may have a different aspect of this. Maybe right now it's a fear, and maybe tomorrow it's going to be more of a belief like, well, this works for other people, but it won't work for me. So pay attention to how you're feeling about this condition every day, and that's what you want to be addressing.
Okay. And I do these positions still 3 times a day?
I would do it 3 times a day. And you can do it for as long as you like, but I would suggest 6 to 8 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, very good. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. Okay.
You're welcome. Okay. We have time for one more. I'm going to unmute your call. Is this a web caller from Santa Monica?
Hi. Yes. Can you hear
yes.
me?
Yes. Yes.
Hi. So I have a question. I feel stuck in some areas of my life. And like, and finances, especially, and, you know, and when I do the healing codes, it always takes me back to being put in an incubator when I was born. And I don't like grab a lot of memories along the way beyond that, you know, feeling boxed in or, you know, abandoned or whatever. So I'm trying to get through this so I feel more peace about the financial situation I created and open to possibilities of new opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about when you think about being stuck, what kind of emotions come up? Is there fear? Is there anger? Is there frustration?
Well, I would have thought it would have been anger, but I felt anxiety when you were working with the next woman. I was asking myself, I felt anxious.
Okay. On a scale from 1 to 10, how strong is that?
It when I talk about it right now, less. But when I did it earlier, it was an 8.
Okay. So think about that feeling of anxiety or anxiousness. Is there an early memory that comes up when you can recall feeling that same way about something?
No. I'm really, my memories just don't pop up.
Okay, that's okay. Then I would just state that in the prayer before you do the healing code or the trilogy. And just ask that all memories that have this type of anxiety in them or any other fears or limiting beliefs that are making you feel stuck or have ever made you feel stuck or fear, either way, that those will be included. And then do the healing code and focus on something positive, something loving, like I was instructing Jennifer to do. Now, are you doing the healing code or trilogy?
Where do I learn trilogy? Just through buying a course, or is there a book?
No, no. There's a free demonstration of trilogy. You can go to YouTube. It's on YouTube. Or go to DrAlexanderLloyd.com. There's a free training for trilogy.
Okay.
You can go to DrAlexanderLloyd.com/trilogy-training, and that you can find it there. It's also on YouTube. So what you would do with that, instead of using the general trilogy that he's teaching, the trilogy is three parts. There's tapping, there's a healing code, and then there's stimulation of the governing and conception vessels and the energy centers, or people call them chakras. The second part where the healing code is, replace the one in the video with your code that I'm going to give you.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's going to make the trilogy a lot more specific and powerful for you.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get a code for you. Can you say for me, I desire to be healthy?
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
The anxiety issue.
The anxiety issue.
Okay, very good. Okay, write this down. Left hand, bridge, right hand, Adam's apple.
Okay.
Second position, both hands, temples.
Okay.
Third position, left hand, Adam's apple, right hand, temple.
Okay.
And the last position is both hands, jaws.
Okay. And if I'm just doing the healing codes, I do the same thing, this too. I'll learn trilogy, but okay.
If you're just doing a healing code, you just do this for, I'd say, 6 to 8 minutes or more. It's up to you.
Okay.
Hold each position for 30 seconds, and then you go to the next one, and then go to the next one, and then repeat.
Okay, and it's statements, I can say whatever I want, or do I choose from one of the groups that I have? I've been doing...
Oh, you can do whatever.
I've been doing the unhealthy beliefs.
That's totally fine. Whatever you feel most comfortable with is fine. It's about where your heart's at, and you can create your own statements. Those are usually the most powerful because they're true, because they're your own words. So whatever works for you is fine.
Okay, so I'm going to learn Trilogy today, but so the only part that I need to know specific for this, see, I sound anxious asking these questions, is this part.
Yes.
Is the left bridge, right Adam's apple, both temples, left hand Adam's apple, right temple, both jaws.
Correct.
That's the only part that is unique to me. The rest, I do what he teaches.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. I really appreciate
okay.
it. I really am
You're
really
welcome.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Okay. God bless you. All right. So that's going to end our call today. I want to thank you all for participating. It's been a great group, and we'll meet you again next week, we hope. God bless.